Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is June the 28th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
On a Tuesday, not a Monday.
Normally do these on Monday. Now here we are on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So excited to be here to talk about John chapter 13.
Yeah.
So we've been, as if you're jumping into the podcast and listening to it, just because maybe you found this, but we've been walking through the book of John here at Grace for a while now, and we were in John chapter 13, which is a big transition in a lot of ways in the ministry of Christ, kind of getting into the very end on earth. And so give us a little recap of where we were on Sunday.
Okay. So yes, John 13 is the big transition chapter in the book of John and also in the ministry of Jesus. People can always find the previous sermon, previous podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So we won't need to take the time to go back to that, but it is the transition chapter, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper.
Yep.
And now, still in the same chapter and still at the same supper, the same meal, there is this exchange between Jesus and his disciples and Jesus and Judas, who is now decided to betray Jesus.
Right.
And gets up from the table and walks away from Jesus. A lot of symbolism there. Walks away from Jesus, walks out of the room, away from Jesus, into the night to go betray Jesus. And right after that, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." And God is glorified in the Son of Man, or in him. So the point that we were making on Sunday and the thing that we wanted to see out of this text is that in this dark hour of betrayal, that Jesus still, and he knew that this was the dark hour of betrayal. You can tell by the reading the narrative, he knew what was happening.
Right.
He still is able to say, now, in the dark hour, the Son of Man, which is a reference to himself, is glorified.
Right.
That means that the dark hour did not overcome the light of Christ's glory. The betrayal of Jesus did not overcome the plan of God to save us through Jesus. In fact, the betrayal of Jesus played into the plan.
Right.
As we read later in the book of Acts. And that tells us then that God is sovereign over all things. And that no matter how dark the hour, God will get glory in some way. Even if we don't get to see it or, perceive it in our experience, we can rest assured that God will get his glory and Christ is to be glorified on this earth through salvation of people, through the work of the cross, and at the return of Christ when every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So that's the big picture.
Yeah,
a message that of the glory of Christ.
So I want to bring in all what you just said in the sermon you preached on Sunday and help us kind of think about how we begin to apply this to our lives. And I loved it. You know, I think it was you were talking about maybe there was a time where you actually read this that probably you were thinking in the sermon like this. I think I was reading this not even during a sermon prep, but you were reading this narrative and you were seeing how Jesus responded to this dark hour, and it was understanding that God was going to be glorified, Jesus was going to be glorified in the midst of a really trying time. And you said it brought you a lot of hope.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking a couple things. You know, I was sitting there thinking, okay, here's Jesus who has this divine knowledge. I often in a moment don't have that knowledge to see. I know some things ahead that are going to come. But I began to ask the question to my own life, how can I, and now I kind of frame it as how can we as a congregation keep our eyes focused on the glory of God in the midst of darkness? I just thought about that because you were saying, you know, how Judas went into the night.
Yeah.
And you were explaining how that word night really is to mean this is evil. I mean, this is, and I think probably people And every parts of history can probably find moments in history mm-hmm. where, man, this feels like a really dark hour. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, probably over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years, it's felt that way. Mm-hmm. So how do we, in the midst of that reality that we live in, still keep our eyes focused on the glory of God, mm-hmm. whether it's distraction or whether it's just real evil, darkness?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
That's a big question.
Well, okay. How?
Yeah.
Because that is one of the issues for us is how do we get this down to everyday living?
Because I think, you know, when you wake up, you know, you turn on the news, you open up a social media app, and it's all coming at you. Mm-hmm. It feels more than ever. It's just coming at you. And sometimes it's like you just feel, you don't feel the hope that you were mentioning. So how do we keep that glory center stage in our lives?
Yeah.
So we have that hope.
One of the places I turn to often with thoughts like this, questions like this, and very practical, the practical nature of how.
Yeah.
Is I go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11.
Okay.
And also chapter 12, particularly the first part of chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 11, it is a chapter about faith. It tells us what faith is, and then it gives us several historical examples of people who walked by faith, who did things by faith. And so these are people, and it says in there about these people in Hebrews 11 that these are people who didn't often get to see what it is they were hoping for.
Right.
They didn't get to see what they believed would come. But because they believed it by faith and then they hoped for it, they pursued it. It kept their lives directed on the paths of God because they believed they would see it. And so one of the ways that I, in darkness, in the dark world that we live in, and particularly in the harder times, that at least that I sense are harder, is I have to realize, well, that's why this is called a walk of faith. This is not a walk of sight.
That's good.
It's a walk of faith. So how, I think, first and foremost, I have to believe God.
Yeah. So it's really a trust issue in a lot of ways, trusting and believing in Him.
Yes, it is. And I do believe God. Hmm. Now, my faith, you know, at times I'm emotionally low or, you know, I do wonder, I get confused mentally, you know, just trying to understand things and how's this going to work. So I have to, but I have to come back to do I believe God? Do I believe that the Father sent the Son into the world, and that the Son came willingly, in complete unity with the will of the Father? He came, and He actually did a work on the cross to redeem and reconcile, to atone for sin, and to bring sinners back to God. Do I really believe that He rose from the dead? Really? And do I honestly believe that He has now given us the Holy Spirit and all the promises of the Bible, and that He's going to come again? And when He comes again, His glory is going to be revealed. Do I believe that even now in the darkest of hours, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still being proclaimed, and that people around the world are still coming to faith in Jesus Christ and entering into the glory of Christ now? And then when He returns, He will return in glory and He will be confessed as Lord. Do I really believe this? Yeah. I mean, it's the basic Bible narrative, the story of God, the truth of God.
Yeah.
I have to say, do I believe this?
Yeah.
You know, do I believe that the future, I don't mean the tomorrow future, I mean the eternal future, is a future in which Jesus Christ rules over His kingdom forever and ever, kingdom with no end. Mm-hmm. That heaven and earth will be a new heaven and a new earth, recreated in such a way that we experience the glory of Christ. These are the things that I run through my mind.
Yeah.
So that I can say, okay, I believe this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust that God will get His glory in this world, and that no darkness, no evil, Satan himself, rebellious human beings, will not thwart the will of God to bring glory to Himself and us by faith into that glory.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's how I do it. So that's so how
faith,
we do it.
Faith.
Yeah. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. These people, they couldn't articulate what I just articulated because many of them didn't have the whole story.
Right.
But they believed in God, that God is God, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. He's going to reward them with glory. And so they kept going. Mm-hmm. So faith. I think another way so all I was going to say about that is how we have to remember this is a walk of faith, not a walk of sight.
That's good.
Second thing I think we need to do is find the promises of God. Hmm. You know, like I just rattled off sort of a historical narrative there of the coming and the life and the death and the resurrection and the return and the reign of Christ. So see those as promises and find the promises of God. You know, for instance, we're going to get into John chapter 14.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear Jesus say to the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going away. I'm coming back. If I weren't coming back, why would I have told you that I was going to?
Hmm.
You know, so there's a promise.
Yeah.
So we need to fix the promises of God in our minds.
That's good.
That fuels faith.
Yeah.
That generates faith, that strengthens faith.
Yeah.
And then I would say a third thing, it would be to make decisions. And so realize it's a walk of faith. Mm. Cling to the promises of God and then make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by that? I mean, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Decide for God, for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Decide what obedience looks like.
Hmm.
Go do it.
So what I'm hearing you say is make decisions that will encourage your faith. Make decisions that will fuel your faith. Mm-hmm. Make decisions that will
make decisions that don't look like hopelessness.
Right, yeah.
Make decisions that don't look like unbelief.
Hmm.
Make decisions that look like hope.
Hmm.
Make decisions that look like belief. Make decisions that look like if I sow, I will reap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I share, God will use that. If I serve, God will use that. If I say no to my flesh, then I will be able to resist the temptations of sin.
Yeah,
and that I will walk in holiness, and then I will see God.
Yeah.
So make decisions that communicate that we believe that in the darkness of the hour that Christ will be glorified and we can enter into that glory and so we move in that direction.
Yeah.
That's what the people of Hebrews 11 did. They moved in the direction of God and His will and His call and obedience because they believed that somewhere along the way, and certainly at the end, they were going to enter into the promised glory that God gave them.
Yeah. You know, that's a great reminder, Scott, that as you look at the people of faith throughout history, I think so many times we focus on, well, how's this going to turn out? What's this going to look like? And as we look back, that was never the case.
Right.
They never knew how it was going to turn out.
Right. Not in this world.
No, it's okay. Well, we're just going to trust while hanging on to the promises of God, knowing that in the end, His glory is going to reign and He is going to rule and reign in His kingdom forever and ever. Like those promises they knew, but they didn't know what the details of that was going to look like rolling out.
Exactly. Abraham is the great example in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It says God called him. God promised him.
Yeah.
You're going to be the father of a multitude of nations. You're going to have a son.
That was a fear.
Yeah, and you're going to be the father of a multitude of nations. And it says that Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked. He decided.
Yeah.
And he wasn't perfect.
No.
He didn't know the outcome. He didn't see the outcome. He saw his son.
Right.
You know, Isaac born, but he didn't know.
Yeah.
The outcome. I mean, he couldn't see every step of the way. He couldn't. Yeah. He didn't see the final outcome. He didn't see the
father of many nations. He didn't see.
He didn't see the nation of Israel.
He didn't see the book of Acts.
No, he didn't. Exactly. He didn't see that. But he believed it.
Yeah.
And he moved in it.
Right.
And so I maybe this is a good point to bring about maybe a good discipleship moment for us here. We have to understand that we are not going to see it all in this life. Mm-hmm. We really have to get that.
Yeah.
We don't believe God if we don't see immediate payoff. Mm-hmm. That is not the walk of faith. Mm-hmm. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Faith says, I'm probably not going to see a lot of what I long to see in this life on this earth as we know it now. But I am going to see my Savior face to face.
Yeah.
And I am going to see the multitude around the throne. Mm-hmm. And I am going to see the return of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I am going to confess Him as Lord. And I am going to enter into His glory.
Right.
So that's discipleship.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think if we have to, you know, if we have to really correct ourselves, it in our day, it's just getting fixed in our head. We're just not going to see it all right now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
So but how does that go back to John 13? Well, because Jesus is sitting there at the table with the betrayer.
Yeah.
And he knows it. Mm-hmm. He even prophesied it through quoting Psalm 41.
Right.
And then he even told the betrayer, Judas, do it now. Do it quickly. Do it quicker than you planned.
Yeah.
And turns right around and said, now is the Son of Man glorified.
Yeah.
He believed that God the Father, through the cross, through mm-hmm. Jesus' cross and resurrection and ascension and return, was going to show glory. He believed it.
Yeah.
And that's what got him the cross.
Yeah.
So we have to believe it and keep going.
Yeah. So I like that. So going back, kind of things we said just here, and as a recap of having faith, walking by faith, not by sight, mm-hmm. clinging to promises, and then moving forward in mm-hmm. our discipleship by making decisions mm-hmm. that are a life of faith and a life clinging to the promises.
Yes. I guess one other thing I would add before we wrap this up is because I do believe that there are times in this world and on this earth when Christians can show the light and we can expose darkness and we can push back darkness and we can do things that are helpful.
Right.
We should do that. Mm-hmm. We really should. But we're doing it by faith.
Yeah.
Knowing that all we're doing is advancing into what we can't complete and what won't be complete until the return of Christ.
Yeah. So on one hand, we're not saying sit back. Oh, well, it's just dark. That is what it is. But moving, I'm hearing you say there is something to be said to stepping into the darkness.
That's right. Decide for it. Decide to move in. Decide to go. Decide to be involved. Decide to serve somebody. Preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Bring about, you know, goodness in some realm, righteousness in some realm that truly reflects the will of God.
Yeah.
Yes. That'd be another thing to do. But why? But to what end?
Yeah.
Surely not to the end that we're going to fix the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but to the end that we're being obedient to mm-hmm. our Savior who's going to return and make all things new and glorify Himself, which is going to be the greatest state we could ever live in when God's getting glorified.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, we've been talking a lot here at Grace. Well, why do we do this? And why do we do this? Why do we have small groups? Or why do we talk a lot about, sometimes we do church and we go to small groups or we go to Bible studies. And sometimes for me, I step back and go, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. A lot of it is exactly what we just said, to encourage our faith, to remind us of the promises, to keep us as a congregation, encouraging one another and pushing each other on to live by faith and not by sight. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
We're
calling, the message of the church is not only are we doing things that are designed to show light over darkness but we're calling people who live in the darkness of separation to God from God into the light of Christ.
Right.
We're calling them to enter into this, this glorious future.
Yeah.
And I always am hesitant right here because the language could be that, oh, somehow you think you've got the light and you're trying to get other people in it. The answer to that is no. Christ, by His grace, called us into the light. Mm-hmm. And He used somebody that He had called into the light to call us. And now he's using us to call somebody into the light. So it's that.
Yeah.
It's Christ doing it. He's the light.
Right.
It's not us.
And we're not pointing people to us. We're just kind of staying on the side going, there's
exactly.
the light.
Exactly. We're not
there's
saying
life.
Join our club.
Yeah.
No. We're saying Christ has been gracious to us.
Yeah.
And as the recipients of grace, we give grace to others. And when you step into the light, you will do the same thing. Yeah. You will be called to join the church in calling people into the light.
Yeah. Well, these are great reminders, and I'm so glad that you were just talking about how even one morning you just kind of coming to this and reading this brought you much hope.
Yeah, it did.
And I think, we could also say, kind of ending our time here, that this is not a one-time thing. This is a daily,
every morning,
moment by moment, pulling yourself out of bed and going, today I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust in the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to encourage others around me to do the same and then come into this light.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for a great sermon on a very wonderful passage. And I know we're going to continue.
John 13, finish up this week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. We'll always see. We never know, but we're going to continue
That's right.
along the way. Well, thanks, Scott.